Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow. My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
We are back in the hallowed space of Ronnie DeSimone's apartment.
Now, did he say that right,
Ronnie? Did I say that right, Ronnie?
Is it DeSimone or DeSimone?
DeSimone.
You know,
look, I think I'm trying to like...
You were trying to... I'll tell you what you were trying to do. You were trying to make what you felt would make his name more interesting.
And
that's
look,
what you were trying to do.
Sometimes I give a note on names.
And you were actually, you know what you just did?
What did I do?
You correctly pronounces Raven Simonier's name.
Oh, but that's
everyone
Simonier.
Believe it's Simone, Raven Simone.
Because she doesn't have an accent over the E.
Yeah, that's her failing.
That's absolutely, I would
you
say
should,
so.
Now, she's someone who you should correct.
But she has to choose, you know, standard linguistic, you know, whatever, annotations.
Right.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know what? I'll cop to this. I was trying to sound smart and cultured, but I failed. There you go.
Wow. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news here on Culch.
Okay,
and
but,
oh, we have further breaking news.
Yes. Matt, go ahead.
Everyone, this is heartbreaking to say, but we've experienced an influx of requests for Sluck to perform around town, the town being New York City.
Oh, and Sluck is our duo. We dress in
filthy garbage,
filthy
dance
garbage
duo.
Makeup and dance and lip sync to a mashup of stuff.
Sluck is retired.
Yeah.
So Sluck will no longer perform because mm-hmm. Sluck is very physical and we're going to break our bodies.
Yeah.
But you can see Sluck one more time
mm-hmm.
at the last theme party at UCB East, which is to be determined when that is going to be. But that will be Sluck's last performance.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm sorry, but Sluck is only a memory.
This was a mutual decision, so yeah, it feels right. But anyway, I'm so excited to be back here because we're here for a very special reason in Ronnie DeSimone's apartment,
yes.
Aren't we?
We are here for a special reason. We have an amazing guest, and we'll get to that guest in a second. But here's the thing. By nature of this guest being here, this is a musical episode.
Yes.
And you know what that means.
It means...
It means we are joined by... Not even friend of the show, best friend of the
best
show.
Best friend of the show.
Best friend, soulmate of the show, historical part of Las Culturistas.
Absolutely.
We're here with pianist. Is it pianist or pianist?
I think.
Depends where you're from.
Yeah,
depends
I guess
where
it depends where you're from. Well, how would you say it where you're from? Michigan?
I said pianist. We have
pianist.
Wide A sounds.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. uh-huh.
This is the dulcet tones of Henry Kapersky you're hearing, everyone.
Hi, Henry.
Hi. Thank you. That is so sweet to call me the best friend and soulmate.
I would say that you are an intricate part of the show, the fabric of the show.
Uh-huh.
And you're back here for, is this the fourth time you've been on the show? If you count, I don't think so, honey.
I suppose it is.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that might be the record.
I'm sort of here every episode because I did compose the...
You
yes!
Are.
Oh my God. Wait, have we given proper credit for that
we
yet?
We have not given proper credit. Guys, the new Las Culturistas theme song, which some people have reached out to us about, they're a little confused about why we had to change it. It's very obvious.
Reasons. Legal reasons.
We couldn't license Aiko
Legal
Aiko
reasons.
By the Dixie Cups. But Henry Kapersky so graciously wrote us a theme song.
Yes, beautiful.
And it's a beautiful song. Thank you, Henry.
It was an honor to do.
Yes.
I also wrote the theme song for Mateo Lane's podcast.
Oh, yes.
Which is called...
Inside the Closet.
Inside the Closet with Emma Willman.
So that's maybe that'll be my thing.
I think it's your new niche. Your new niche. Now, that's not to say that you're not busy. Because I was truly gagged when I heard about Henry's upcoming activity.
This is huge.
Tell us about what you're going to be doing at 54 Below in the month of May.
I was reached out to sub for a music director because he couldn't do a show. And, you know, the pay was right. So I said yes.
Uh-huh.
And the person whose show it is Countess Luann.
Countess Luann de Lesseps.
I have never, I'm not bragging, this is just true. I've never seen even a minute of any Desperate Housewives. I have
Real Housewives.
The Real Housewives.
Real Housewives.
He didn't even know the name. He thought it was the Desperate Housewives.
Henry.
That's how off the grid he is.
I used to be just like you.
Really?
And not but a month ago did I start watching, and I gotta say,
it's good.
I'm really charmed by it. And Luann especially is a great, great, great person.
Oh, good. I'm excited to meet her.
She's been through a lot.
She's been through a lot. She's had a tough year. But she handles everything, all her hardship, with such grace and aplomb, and that's what I admire most about her. She's been through a lot of shit in life, but she always, always, always picks herself back up.
That's, I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the story of Lou... And this is really a true, real story of Lou that was told on this podcast. Go listen to the episode Seek Treatment with Pat Regan.
Of this
and
podcast.
And he tells the story of Lou.
When she, like, got in a car accident in the Alps and had to, like...
Became afraid of driving.
Had to... But, like, was with her kids, rolled off the side of the mountain.
I did listen to this episode. I am... My other credit is I'm Pat Regan's biggest fan.
Yes, we forgot to say.
Right. Henry Kavirsky is Pat Regan's biggest fan.
Although I could give you a run for that.
I could give you a run for that too. Oh my God, Pat and I are going to go see Once on This Island in April together.
What?
Oh my God. I saw it last week and
it was
one of the best things I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is actually, that's actually a beautiful segue.
A beautiful segue into our guest.
Into our guest. Now, we've just recorded three stunning musical moments with our guest.
Stunning.
Henry is accompanying here in the studio. Truly a superstar.
Absolute
and
superstar.
Now, the show that we're promoting, it's called I Want to Be Your Man.
Yes.
Now, Henry and I saw this, and we saw it at 54 Below, and it was one of the best shows. We had a great seat. We were right off the stage. That was a true...
Yeah, we were at the foot of the stage. Matt's jaw was on the table the whole time.
I believe it.
He wept multiple times.
I did. I cried. I'm very open during shows and performances. Every show and performance, I'm very open. No matter what. Even if it's in the basement and it's improv, I'll be crying. But this had me move to the nth degree.
I'm not surprised. This guest truly... I think everyone in the room is privileged to see her. I mean, anytime she performs on stage.
And the show is happening again. An updated version of the show is happening again. It's Amy Jo Jackson's I Want to Be Your Man. It's on April 13th at 9:30 p.m. This is Friday the 13th, but embrace the good part about that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be scared of any omens, you know? Don't be scared. I was, what do you call it? Not spontaneous.
Superstitious
child. I was a very superstitious child. And my mom has me afraid of, like, I don't wear socks in the bed because I feel like someone will come out of the closet. I don't walk under ladders because I feel like I'll die.
Guys,
I never step on cracks.
If you want someone to come out of the closet, just wear some socks in bed.
It's actually rule of culture number six. If you want someone to come out of the closet, wear your socks in the bed.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Green Room 42, new
venue.
Up and coming in space.
Yes.
And this is unbelievable. Not a drink minimum in sight, honey.
Wow, that is
just good times. And this is one night only. Again, 9:30 on Friday, April 13th. The show is I Want to Be Your Man. It's at Green Room 42. And the star of the show is Amy Jo Jackson.
Hello.
Hello.
Amy Jo.
We're so excited to have you. We should just say Henry has to leave, and so he's heading out.
We should also mention that Amy Jo is, you know, one of the preeminent cabarettists in the city.
Oh, yes. Talk about her credits.
Okay, she's dialect coached on Kinky Boots since the original first Broadway run, and I believe the tours?
The first national, it's now non-union, so mama can't be working on that.
No, she'll get
in trouble. But I also worked on the Toronto production, and then I've been with the show since the Out of Town in Chicago in 2012.
Amazing. And then also Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox, and just so many, a litany of credits.
She working.
And it's, oh my God, it's our privilege to talk to you, Amy.
I'm so excited. We've heard the performances. I'm so excited for everyone to hear them. I'm not kidding. This show was... It was so good. What you're
Thank
doing
you.
Is so special.
Thanks, doll.
So tell us a little bit about the show. What inspired you to do it?
Sure. So I had done a couple of solo acts before at 54 Below. It's something like I've been wanting to do since I got to the city and just never got my act together. And then managed to do a solo show that was just basically like, this is a big party. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, I really want to do another show, and I always have, like, 8 playlists going of different show ideas.
Nice.
And I just was finding myself more and more infuriated at the way women are written for, not written for. Basically, the way, like, anyone who's not a cis dude is written for, you know, and the way that... I'm talking in all kinds of the arts, but
totally.
Specifically theater is, like, you know, where I live most of the time. So the way that a lot of male material can be about anything and the way a lot of female material is about a child or a love interest, that sort of thing, or it's just not that deep.
Right.
Yeah. And it's getting better, but it just infuriates me. And I don't like feeling impotent rage. I like to feel potent rage.
Yeah, so, right. Rage.
Exactly. So I basically was like, well, screw this. You know what? I'm also 6 feet tall. I've played a lot of male roles, especially like in Shakespeare. I think until a show I did just before the last time I did the concert in 2016, I had more male Shakespearean roles on my resume than female.
Wow.
And also in Shakespeare, like, that's very common to just do gender blind casting or fluid casting. But
well, sure.
I was like, oh, it's not just that I'm tall, and it's that stepping into this kind of material unlocks something in me. Like, it unlocks this permission to be aggressive and completely assertive in a way that is sometimes considered unfeminine or bitchy or bossy.
Right.
And so there's something incredibly freeing, you know, about being able to stand on the stage and like, say, like, this is my point of view, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to, like, try and make it palatable.
Yeah.
So it's not like a preachy show, I think, you know, but I
not at
just
all.
Like, the what I have selected centers a femme identifying body in a position of power and strength. Right. And, I did it in May of 2016, a couple nights at 54 Below, and I had a great time, and a lot of folks, particularly female identifying folks who saw it, like, really warmed to it and got exactly what I was saying.
Right.
But then, you know, a lot happened in between May of 2016 and and now, and I just
did it.
Did stuff happen?
I don't remember.
Who reads Twitter? And so I just had been thinking, you know, there's a lot of other shows I want to do, and I've been working a lot regionally, so I didn't do like a solo show last year, and it's just like, you know what? I feel like rather than crafting something new, I want to dive back into that because it feels even more prescient,
totally
and important, like. I also think that some of the people who didn't necessarily get what I was trying to do last time, because of the national conversation with Time's Up and Me Too and blah, 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 the stuff, I think there's more of an awareness of, like, oh, that's what this is really about.
Yeah. Right.
And so, I'm really excited. It feels right to do it again. I would say it's about 85% the same. We've just changed a couple songs, adding a song or two, and some of the guests are different.
Nice.
They're not all 100% confirmed, so I can't say.
Right,
they
we can't
are,
be saying.
Well, everyone stay tuned for the guest announcements.
So every song in the show is traditionally performed by a male character.
By a male character, or is written by, like, a male musician. It's performed by like a male rock singer or what have you.
Right.
So yes, it's all male material.
Yes, right. I remember you did a certain Maroon 5 song.
Oh, yes.
Is that still in the gig?
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
I have an 11-minute medley called the Inevitable Sexist Medley right in the middle of the show.
Love it.
And that's primarily, like, pop and rock. And it's funny you mentioned that one, because I don't listen to a lot of radio pop. So, like, I had to actually do some deep dive research. I was on a regional gig, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit and watch a lot of music videos. And I was just, like, the rage. It was, a whole week I was just watching these terrible music videos of these songs. I was like, you know. I was like, okay, I've put this medley together. Now I got to step away for a second. But that was one that, like, I had heard, but I, you know, didn't really know. And I was watching the music video for that, which is...
It's wild.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, but there was...
Maroon 5 Animals.
Baby, I'm praying on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive.
Just like animals.
Yeah, but it's catchy, so who's listening? So I...
America.
Yeah. Everybody's listening now. But yeah, so I actually had... There was this guy who came and reviewed it, just like a cabaret blogger.
Oh, okay.
And he you know, he thought the medley was a bit long. And I'm like, well, that's part of the fucking point. Like, yes, no one needs an 11-minute medley. But when it is called the Inevitable Sexist Medley, part of the point is, you think? It is a little long.
And you got to bludgeon them to the audience with all this
all
information.
And Animals was one of the ones that he mentioned as a possibility to cut. And I was like, oh, so you've never been followed down the street and had to duck into a Duane Reade in the hopes that some creepy dude will stop following you.
Yeah.
You've never, like... pretended to call a friend to say you're going to their house so that when you walk into your own apartment, they don't think it's yours. Like,
oh my God.
You just never had that as part of your reality, sir, so you don't understand.
That's the tea. That is the fucking tea. Mm-hmm. And with everything that Amy Jo just said, I just want to quote Guy Branum, who quoted some English literary critic in saying that men act and women appear, because I think that is the whole sort of unifying theory of what you're trying to do, which is so cool. I'm so excited to see it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's a true, and also like outside of it being like incredibly like moving and important, you're also an incredible performer.
Thank you, darling.
As we should actually hear right now. Now tell us about this first song that you and Henry are going to do.
Yes. So I'm very coy with my set lists. Mm-hmm. So the stuff that I'm doing tonight is not stuff that's in my show, but it is evocative of the stuff that's in my show. So this first one, I think many people will recognize. It's a show, It's a song I've done a lot and performed around, but this is very much the vibe of the type of thing you might see at an Amy Jo Jackson event.
Yes. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into it.
How do you do, I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the Candyman. Don't get strung out! A book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't I show you around? Maybe play you a sound. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie. Well, you got caught with the flat. Well, how about that? Now, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite? I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. Well, maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptoms!
That was like, because, okay, I'm not familiar with Rocky Horror. I will just
say. Oh, you're not a Rocky Horror person?
I've never seen it.
Wow.
Are you?
Isn't that sinful?
Yeah, I've done it. I've played Magenta. And then growing up, like, you would go to a friend's house for, like, a nerdy theater party.
Yes.
And on in the background would always be either Rocky Horror, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, or Waiting for Guffman. Those were what
that
were 100%
so...
of theater parties.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah. Honestly, I remember the first Rocky Horror picture I saw was actually at NYU during Welcome Week. Remember when they did this?
Yes,
they had to put it on a Rocky Horror for Welcome Week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like very closeted at the time and from Long Island, but had like a very sheltered like American Eagle life. So like the most salacious thing I had ever seen was like when someone got got voted off on American Idol like too early. That was like controversy to me.
Wow.
So I go there and everyone's of course dressed the part, and I wore like my like polo. And I'm like there, and I couldn't believe the culture.
Are you scandalized?
I was scandalized deeply.
Yeah.
And I actually can't believe it's gotten to that point.
What do you mean?
Like it's such a cult thing. The whole Rocky Horror thing.
Oh, yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
It's really fun to do. So I did it in Asbury Park, New Jersey, the Carousel House. So it's like when it was like an operating boardwalk back in the day, there was a carousel in there that now is no longer in there. So people use it for like an event space. Mm-hmm. And so it's open, like it's like closed off, but not completely like windproof or anything. So sure. We're doing it in October, because we're doing it around Halloween. So we're doing it in October, early November. In New Jersey, on the beach, basically.
The beach.
And of course, it's Rocky Horror, so everyone's wearing like
nothing.
It's a no pants show. Let's put it that way. And so they had like blocked off half of it. So you're kind of the whole space was basically like a semicircle.
Okay.
And then the stage was like a semicircle within that. So they had these two big VOMs, these aisles that you would run down. So we would stand there shivering in our coats at the back of the VOM. And then the music would start. And I was the first one on because Magenta sings Science Fiction double feature. Mm-hmm. And like I would just like throw my coat to the ground and run. And there was a guy who I think he was one of the board ops, but he would be there to gather all of the coats of these poor young women who were like,
yeah,
and then like put them back at our station so at intermission we could like put them on. But it was really fun. What's really fun about the show is you get people who know it really well and know all the call outs, and it feels like you're a rock star because they know you're Magenta even though they have no idea who you are. So you appear, they're like, yes! And so you're like, I've not earned this at all, but it feels so good. And so it's really fun.
Oh, that's so interesting.
But I've never actually gone to a midnight screening of the movie, but I believe you guys are Room fans.
Why am I a big Room fan?
We love The Room.
I have been to many of the... That was my first date with my husband.
Oh my
really?
God!
Really? Was a midnight screening of
that's
The Room.
That's amazing.
That's a great first date.
I had watched all of it in a dressing room before. Like a friend had... He was like, you guys have to see, because I was in a dressing room with the guys. It was a long story, but so he was like, you guys have to watch this movie. So he did highlights, and then we went through and spent an entire week at half hour. We just watched chunks of it.
Oh,
and
I
mean, even did one sitting.
Well, we could, you know, we had to go do a dumb show.
Oh, sure,
dressing
room.
Normally, I love my job, but that was not one of those jobs that I love. We were like, can we just hang out in the dressing room where it's safer? We're not gonna hurt on stage.
Oh,
I'm not talking about Rocky Horror, I'm talking about another show altogether, but Midnight screening of The Room.
Mm-hmm. I have a pitch.
Okay.
The Room, the musical.
I think it's on its way.
I'm sure people, there must be somebody working
on it. It's got to happen.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. There's
a
power
song.
Ballad,
song.
If e'er I heard.
Yes. You are my rose into a full number. Like, you must.
I'm my rose, you are my rose.
We joked about that being our first dance at our wedding. It was not.
Oh my God,
but
no,
we
didn't do that.
Nobody would know but us, but we would be like, we did not take the whole wedding thing very seriously. Let's put it that way. So we're like, wouldn't it be great?
Was that his idea to go see the movie?
You know, it's funny, like we had like, I'd met him like a couple years before working on a show. And then, you know, so I'd seen him, we were in like the same big circle of friends at the Flea. So I'd worked, I knew him, but we'd never really like hung out. And then, I reconnected with him like after a show that he was in that I went and saw. We were like hanging out at the bar and I was like, why have I never really thought about this Jeff Ronan character? And we were kind of flirting and like nothing really happened. But then he like posted something to Facebook because there were a group of people that were going to go see this film. And I was like, I'm going to message him. And I got there earlier. So I only saved two seats because I didn't know there was like this group of like, I knew there were other people, but I didn't know how many. And so he ended up just sitting with me apart from all the friends. And we were like, oh, we had like,
a moment.
You know, a little moment. We're like, oh, so we count that as our first
that's,
date.
I think
that's
it's
great.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah. I think from hearing this story, it sounds like a date.
Wait.
Okay.
I have this question. What is the most, this is weirdly phrased. What's the most excruciating pain that you've had to suffer through for in the name of theater, let's say?
Oh, wow. Physical or otherwise?
Well, there's a few, right? I would probably say my Ursula costume.
Okay.
But not in one go, cumulatively.
Sure, okay.
You know, because I was wearing 5.5-inch platform heels.
Oh, God.
Which were actually pretty comfortable. But then I was wearing these huge hip pads that like the order of the costume, it took three people to get me in and out of it. It was like I was in the, 1700s in France.
Is it mobile?
I've likened it to driving a small golf cart. So I practiced a lot in it because I am very anal retentive. And I was like, I don't want the costume to wear me. I need to be in charge of it.
But
limited mobility. And luckily, we did a photo shoot the first week, so I had been in it. So when we were staging stuff, I was like, I don't think I can do that, but we can try this.
Wow.
It's like, I don't think walking backwards is going to be possible.
Sure.
Because there was just like a lot going on that I couldn't see. And if you go down, you're not getting back up.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it had these big hip pads, and then this. I was wearing a corset that stayed on the whole time.
Yeah,
like the bodice.
That's gotta be horrible.
It wasn't that it was tight. It was that it had all these mirrored plastic pieces and rhinestones on the front, which looked amazing. I looked like a disco ball when the light hit me.
Yeah,
but it did mean that it would scrape.
Yeah.
Underneath my arms.
Ugh.
So when I'd get off stage, I had like either a hoodie or like a blanket that they gave me that I tuck into it, and they put moleskin on it so that it was like not as bad. But so I had like scratches all up into my arms.
Dang.
And excuse me, Equity, my costume is killing me.
Well, that's every show. You get to a certain age and it's every show.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. So I did. So then you'd put the skirt on top of that, and it was pretty tight. And then the tentacles were on a belt that would go on top of that.
Wow.
So
I would say when I was experiencing menstrual cramps, it was unbearable.
Don't
know. Because it all sat right. It all like leaned into that. And so like it wasn't so bad because I would not stay in it the whole time because I couldn't sit down. Tech was bad because I was when we did the Poor Unfortunate Souls scene and song, that's 2 hours plus that I was in it in one go.
Damn.
So every time we would have a hold, a dresser would come running out from the wings with a chair.
Oh,
they would
no.
then pull my skirt up so I could kneel on it so I could get off the shoes.
Ooh.
So it was more just that cumulatively because I couldn't bend in it. And then I was in this like super like weird posture, like my upper glutes got so tight and I couldn't really walk that well out of costume because I was a mess. But, I learned a lot about like how much I'd need to be rolling out and that sort of thing.
Oh, my God.
There's got to be a better way to costume Ursula.
To say nothing of the hair even. I'm sure you had
a
huge wig. It actually was very comfortable.
Oh, okay, good.
But I couldn't lie down or sit back
right.
in it, You know what? I would also like part of the thing was I was so tired because it took, I was doing full drag makeup and like blocking my brows.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's full, the whole thing is drag.
It was so drag, but it was also like, glue only dries so fast. And I'm, as someone who hadn't done drag up to that point,
right.
I didn't know how to like, other than like, okay, I use a blow dryer and put it on cool to try and make them go faster, but it, like make it go, because I also had the lace front, had a widow's peak and it came down super far. And so if my brows weren't really dry
right.
by the time I put the stuff on, then it would get stuck in there and it would start to come off. So it was
God.
I had to get there. I would get there 2.5 hours before curtain.
Oh,
so I could I'd go upstairs into the studio and stretch, and then I'd leave myself 2 hours to do everything. It normally only took about 1:30 to 1:40, but like it, because I just wasn't fast at it. If I'd done the show for like a year, it would have been a lot faster, but it was a regional run. So I would say probably that whole cumulative experience, I was so tired. It was
that sounds
so
insane.
Much fun because it is
the number is one
of
the best.
It's the best. It's incredible. And it's like, I am evil Auntie Mame. So it was it's so perfect. And
that is a really good part for you.
Oh, and it was, and apparently I found out from the director, like she told me, like we had like a night of drinks, like the first weekend and that everybody was there. She's like, you know what? You booked it on your first line when you came in and used a liquid U saying Ursula. I was like, that's our girl. I was like, wow, could I not use a liquid U?
Amy Jo books by on elocution alone.
Yes.
And that's.
If it's the right director, honey. You know?
So speaking of, you are currently the voice coach on Kinky
the
Boots.
Dialect coach.
Excuse me.
I'll be there on Friday.
So I need to ask about Miss Todrick.
Oh, yes.
Because Todrick Hall was in the show for a while.
Yeah,
three, 4 months.
Yeah. Good to work with.
Oh, yeah. I just, so many people that have come in, also when they're stunt casting.
Yeah, right. You never know what you're going to get.
You never know. Sure. But like, so many people that have come in have just like nailed it. And, and watching Todrick work, number one, just like very like warm and like eager to do really well.
Yeah,
his commitment to excellence is really like
that's
inspiring.
Clear.
Well, and so normally you'll put people in, like I'll work with them early on, right. Especially with playing Lola. There's so many lines.
Right. Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people haven't worked in an accent, so they're very nervous about it. And so I try to get to them early on so that I can kind of calm that system down.
Right.
A lot of my job is just like traffic directing, and then just like, here's where you're going correctly. And here's where we could just take a left turn, you know?
Yeah.
But, Then they get on stage and start walking through the blocking with stage management or the associates, and also learning the choreography from the dance captain. And he, you know, he wasn't writing anything down. And he would get, I would see him like do one pass at it. He'd be like, okay, let's do it again. And he'd do it perfectly the second time after learning.
Some people got it.
And that is not, you know, dance is not my language. Mm-hmm. So I look at that, I'm like, oh. I'm so impressed by it.
No, he's pretty incredible.
He's a talent.
I mean, he's like when I first really was like, oh my god, this person is so serious. Is in his videos where he would do the mashups covers mm-hmm. of all the pop star songs, and he would just there's four of him, and he does the choreography perfectly in sync with each other, and he's like nailing the vocals and also the personality, charisma. It's just like
he's
very
wonderful
all there.
To watch on stage. Mm. Just like fills that space, and he I got to meet RuPaul
because
he was in the show. I knew that Ru was coming to his opening, Ru. Like, so basically, if there's like gonna be a photo op with a celebrity or something, the cast just after curtain call will hang out in the wings and then come and do like a photo. So I'm like, the dance captain and I are running backstage because we know RuPaul is there. And Ru like starts talking to the cast, was just so generous. Just like, I didn't know what at all to expect. I didn't, each and every one of you just brought such tremendous energy, and what a story, and he told so beautifully. Like,
he loves Kinky Boots. He talks about it on What's the Tea.
I have not caught up with my What's the Tea, so I'll have to take a listen. But it was just so special. And of course, you know, for so many people in that show and who work on Kinky Boots, like, we love RuPaul.
Big
so it
them.
Was very exciting. And so like the dance captain who wasn't in the show that night and I were both like hanging out together, like, oh, I don't, you know, like, should we go talk to RuPaul? Because we're like clearly... We clearly belong with the show, but who are we? So eventually, like, he and I like go up. We were both. I haven't been starstruck in like 20 years, probably.
Oh my god!
And I was just like grinning like a fool. I got to say, like, you know, I'm the dialect coach, but I was like, you know, thank you so much. You're such an inspiration. You know,
yes.
You know, blah blah blah. Right. Like, you know, and he was just like so chill. And then just like, now there was a dialect coach back in Hollywood and the blah blah blah. Name so and so, and I have nothing to contribute to the conversation.
Right.
I'm just grinning like, I can't even say like, oh yes, you know, so and so from the blah. Like, I know names of people who are working now, but I was just like struck deep to my core with just like. So it was lovely.
He was holding court at that point too.
Oh yeah,
he does do that thing of he does do that like kind of like person who's been around thing of like, you know, back in this time, this was the person who did this, and everyone's just like, yeah.
I think at that age, you've earned it.
Yeah, 100%.
When we get to be that age, we'll of course be so.
I'm like that now.
I'm gonna say I knew Amy Jo Jackson when she was doing a show at the Green Room 42. On Friday, April 13th at 9:30 p.m. It was called I Want to Be Your Man. And it was fabulous.
Oh my god, I can't wait for the show. I'm
going to be obsessed.
It feels like we're shoehorning in the promo, but I truly am.
That's my favorite part of the
so
show,
excited.
I think. My favorite part of doing the show, I was thinking about this on the way here because I was excited because we were going to get to do this, is letting people know where they can see the most talented people, and also understanding that like this might be a lot of people's first introduction to people like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Although I think it was Gabby Hornig. We were talking to Gabby. I was talking to Gabby a while back, and it was just like the fact that we had booked Amy Jo Jackson for our first I Don't Think So Honey live show. He was like, that was worth the price of admission alone for someone like him. He was like, I have to go see Amy Jo scream.
I was so thrilled that you asked me to do that. Because, like, I'm not a comedian. I am a comedian.
Yeah.
I am a farceur.
Right. Yes.
But not, you know. Oh, we haven't even talked about the fact that Aaron Jackson's my brother.
Well, Aaron Jackson on the show 2 weeks ago, the little brother.
Taller, but younger.
Younger of Amy Jo Jackson. I would love to hear what Aaron Jackson was like as a younger brother and continues to be like to this day.
I Well, we've always been like best friends.
Yes.
We're 2 years apart, so we were in the same circles all the time. I will say, he was a brat.
Was he a brat?
Until, because he and my mom are very, very similar in how they process information and negotiate conflict, which is to say, it got very loud sometimes.
Oh my God. Eric can get loud.
Could you imagine? Can you imagine? So they're just both really stubborn, and they're also, they're not bickerers, but with each other, they would bicker. And
yep,
like, my dad and I are like, like, no, thank you. And I would be like, oh, this is some shade on me. They would be like fighting because Aaron wouldn't want to do something. My mom would be trying to, you know, parent with authority.
Yeah.
And I would be like feeling the stress of that. And I would go to my room and cry and write poems.
Oh.
I am not kidding. I wish I were, but I've always been a caricature of myself.
No, so, yeah.
That's beautiful.
I think I did the poem things too. Did you do poems?
I drew a lot.
Beautiful. More visual.
Mm-hmm. That was my outlet. But that sounds, that all tracks, I think. All of that tracks.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go. Well, by the time this comes out, this will have happened already, but I'm spending a whole weekend with him at your parents'
yes!
house in Breckenridge.
Wait, what? Oh my God.
Great.
I can't wait. I've seen pictures of the house.
Lovely.
Aaron himself has described it as a Republican man. So
That's accurate. That's very accurate.
I can't wait.
Yeah, but I mean, gorgeous. I've worked a couple of times at, like, very recently, and then like a number of summers ago, I worked at this little theater in Silverthorne, which is like 20 minutes away from Breckenridge,
right,
where my parents' place is. So I got to stay there, and I gotta say, when you can live very comfortably, it does make usual actor housing very unattractive.
I mean, come on.
I can only imagine.
But as we talk about the family, the upbringing, we should ask the question that we ask every single guest.
And I truly, I have such suspense and anticipation of Rami Jo's answer to the question, which is, what is the culture that made you say culturist for me? What made you move in a cultural direction? And I'm so curious to know what this is.
There was a certain smell in the air, and you didn't know what it was at the time, but you found out later that it was culture.
Uh-huh,
after you followed the smell to
what's
your cultural
blood in the
place.
Water?
Yes,
the blood
absolutely.
In the water,
you
yeah.
were the shark.
The shark.
It was the blood in the water.
That
and
seems
you...
accurate. That feels right. Yeah. Well, I will say I have... until more recently, I didn't really have anything but culture to think or talk about.
Mm.
So I never wanted to go in any other direction. Like,
yes.
My aunt tells me stories of it. She's like, you've been talking about moving to New York and being in the theater since you were four. I'm like, oh, really? I don't even remember that.
Wow.
But as far as like more specific things, because I thought about this, I was like, wow. God, it feels like overwhelming because it's like that's all I was interested in. So I narrowed it down to a more generic list, and we'll use it as a jumping off.
Please,
I just pictured you at four being like, I think I'm going to live in Harlem. Should be close to the subways, pop down. I think by that time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It'll
at
be great.
Four.
It'll be great. Yeah. This is a very ridiculous and revealing story about myself that my grandmother used to love to tell. When I was like two, she was just called me Pumpkin one day. She's like, "Hey, Pumpkin," and I said, "I am not a pumpkin. I am Amy Renee Jackson."
Oh,
Amy Renee.
Which, spoilers, that's the real name.
I love it.
Amy Joe, the Joe in addition.
The Joe is a nickname I got in college, and it was just bouncy and it stuck. So
I love that.
Yeah, it's
it
fun.
Rolls off. It
mm-hmm.
rolls, truly rolls off.
I love that.
Wait, this list.
What did we narrow down to the list?
Okay, so the list would probably primarily, like most influential, would include... British television, specifically British comedy, a la mm-hmm. A Bit of Fry and Laurie, Blackadder, Jeeves and Wooster, and then like British murder mysteries.
Ah.
Wow. And then we have Broadway, because I've never not been a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes like movie musicals and soundtracks to them, as well as original Broadway cast recordings.
Yes.
Anything
yes.
I could get my hands
yes.
on. Old Hollywood, like I grew up, like my dad and I would watch like any Cary Grant or Katharine Hepburn film.
Mm.
Like, love all that.
You share that with Aaron.
Oh, well, I mean, because we grew up in the same house.
Yes,
watching
right.
all the
definitely.
Same stuff.
But Aaron even also said Agatha Christie, just like British
oh, yes.
mysteries.
Well, and then the last one being books.
Yes.
Like, I read everything. And I was a big old snob as a kid. So it was either going to be like something mysterious, maybe with ghosts, or it was going to be like literature.
Yes.
So, and I was like the kid that would like, we'd be walking from the cafeteria back to the classroom and I'd be reading using my periphery to navigate because I was like, I don't give a fuck. I like this book.
Yeah.
It's more interesting than all of you.
Than safety, than hallway safety.
Than hallway safety. I was safe. I could see where I was going.
I'm so jealous of those people.
Henry bothers me when he's looking at his phone and not looking around. It's my pet peeve of mine. I think everyone should be looking Amy Jo.
That's a little different. Not in a hallway when you're walking single file in elementary school.
I forget that the kids have to walk in lines.
Yes. Not navigating a middle school busy hallway.
Okay. Yes. Not that shark infested waters.
But when you're walking in the street in public, that's different.
You know, it's actually rule of culture number 17. These kids in elementary school walking in two straight lines, it's very gendered.
Oh, yeah, we did used to do that, didn't we?
I didn't walk in two lines.
Oh, there was two lines, a boy line and a girl line in my school.
Wait, Amy, did you spend most of your childhood, did you spend any time in Colorado or was it mostly Texas?
It was mostly Texas. I finished at high school there. We moved when I was 16. So I did junior and senior year in Colorado and then... you know, would go back there a lot. And like now that my parents have this place in Breck, that's where I prefer to go.
Nice.
We can infer that you were doing theater all throughout your childhood.
Oh, God.
And into high school.
You couldn't stop me.
Yeah, no.
If I wasn't doing it with a group, then it was forced upon my family.
It was a solo act in the house.
Yes. Or I would inscript, Aaron, you know, like we did love a dress up moment there, you know. Also, like, I'm of the age where everyone didn't have a video camera, so my parents borrowed one from friends. So there is this legendary video, and I want to say fifth grade, and Aaron's third grade.
Okay.
So Aaron is still adorable,
yeah.
And I'm just at the age where it's like, that's a little much, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
We're so excited, and you can watch it, and your parents are like, okay. Okay, like as we're like just vignette to vignette to vignette. But
God, like, original pieces?
All some were inspired. We did a version of Cinderella, we also did plenty. You know, different. We also did a tour of the house. The most humiliating thing. Like this
tour
is the thing that you put on. Oh yeah, it was Aaron jumping on the bed. Oh look at this room. Shockingly, Aaron's jumping on this bed too. You know, but I did. Oh my God. I thought I could do ventriloquism. I was wrong, but I was committed. And there's this bit of me singing some song, I don't remember what, with, you know, those little like prepackaged gift boxes that when you open them up, they make noise.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, for whatever reason, I have one of those and I'm making that my puppet. I mean, it is excruciating. And then...
And they're so long, the videos.
Oh, they're so long. I mean, the thing is, now it's genius.
Yeah, of
like,
course.
They were too, the vignettes, they needed to be cut. But now it's like, please let this never stop.
Yeah, yeah,
but
right,
the
yeah.
other thing that I then did was hitch up my elastic waist denim pants and do a Jaleel White and Family Matters impression as
Uh-oh.
Urkel.
Uh-oh.
It was not good, authentic, or appropriate.
Hey, you hit all three. You hit all three distasteful trifecta.
While you could.
Fifth grade in the 90s. It was a time.
You know what? You get a free pass with that.
Free pass. So, Aaron, proud of him now or whatever?
He's fine.
Yeah.
No, I mean, are you kidding? I'm so thrilled and I'm so proud of him always, but I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, I ran into a friend on the train today, and we're like, oh, hey, I haven't seen her in like 2 years or something. We're chatting. She's like, oh, by the way, big fan of Aaron. I was like, right? I mean, I know I'm biased, but right?
No, yeah. But both of you are just... This, like, I don't know, it feels like you don't really get these sort of, like, sibling talent pairings anymore, and you guys just are in your own lanes, but then you also cross, like, merge lanes sometimes, too. It's so wonderful. I mean, like, the first times I ever saw Amy Jo was at a gay show for all people, and
I think same.
Blew my socks off.
Yeah.
Is that the expression?
But blew my socks off. Knocked my socks off, I believe, is the expression. I can't believe I'm correcting you for once in my life.
Right. Blew my mind.
And, of course, sucked my socks off.
Sucked my socks off.
That age-old adage.
That age-old adage. I will say this about Aaron. like, you know, people in the comedy community, oftentimes they go on to greater success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes there's that feeling of like, oh, it happened for them amongst the community. Like,
sure.
When will it happen for me? Like, you're happy for them, but you're like, there's like this,
sure.
like a little, with Aaron and Josh, I think everyone in the community everybody I know mm-hmm. was just like leaping to their feet. Aww. Absolutely 100%. We're so happy for them. So proud of them. That's not just because they're our dear friends, because they are funny
and they
as
have worked
fuck.
Their guts out
yes.
together
yeah.
for years.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's such a great example of finding like your people
yes.
and finding your voice.
Yes.
And then that leading you to greater success.
Yeah.
Like, it's tremendous and it's very exciting. It's inspiring to me, you know?
Oh, it God. Really is. I mean, and just like to know that, especially Aaron. I mean, Aaron was a teacher at UCB mm-hmm. for quite a long time mm-hmm. and he just had, I think, probably thousands of like students coming to see him like over the years, like, and now to see him on television, and it's just so great. I recently went to the taping of the opposition uh-huh. to see that piece that they did with Kim Davis.
Oh yeah.
Yes. That was unreal.
Amazing.
So good.
The gay who would be clerk.
The gay who would be clerk.
Again, riffing on classic films.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, can we talk about A Bitter Fry and Laurie? Because I feel like I completely missed the boat on that.
So did I, and I would love to hear.
Just
so my
tell
my parents always loved Blackadder and Jeeves and Wooster, and mm-hmm. then of course through those you find Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry.
Right.
So we had this one. I think we had like the VHS that was like the best of A Bitter Fry and Laurie.
Nice.
So I watched that a million times, but now you can find a ton of it like
sure.
available online.
Yeah.
But I just love the way they work together, and they're just. So, I don't know, they're so funny, and they do so, you know, they're a fantastic sketch duo in the fact that, like, there's not always one, like, playing the alpha and one playing the beta, you know? They,
yeah.
like, really, like, play around with all sorts of different ways in which they position themselves towards each other, but also just, like, the runs that they would do. There's this one really, it's like, unbelievable that it is, like, such a funny sketch, because you're, like, the premise is just, like, a guy interviewing another guy who likes to talk about language. You're like, okay, fine. But Stephen Fry does this whole thing where the character is just so over the top. So listen to me. Language. And just it's the commitment to like the fullness of the
yeah.
performance that I, as someone who's never been understated, really responds to.
We identify with you.
Well, yes, absolutely.
I know. I think perhaps it's why I enjoy listening to the pod. So
I feel like that is just I'm sort of on the other side of the glass with in terms of like just British comedy in general. I feel like I never fully got my chance mm-hmm. with it.
You would really like, I mean, and I would imagine, you know, you like Tracy Ullman.
I don't really know.
Oh, okay. You...
I like have seen a little bit, but here's the thing. Like if I wasn't watching it when I was much younger,
mm-hmm.
then I missed a lot because
okay.
I stopped watching TV because I was like, doing theater.
You're
right,
working.
Right, right.
I'm like, now I'm so behind.
I think
know?
You would have a deep Same. Appreciation for Tracy Ullman. Like, because she's truly a genius.
Truly a genius.
Like, I think one of the best impressionists, mm-hmm. character creators,
yeah.
just comedians that's out there. And actually, this is another really good segue, because she played Jack's mother in the film
she
of did. Into the Woods.
She did.
And I've heard that you are about to grace us with something a little bit of a medley right now.
A little bit of a mashup.
Talk about what we're about to do.
Yes, this is a piece I got asked to do at this concert at Joe's Pub last year called Sondheim's. It was actually the day before I Don't Think So Honey Live.
Oh,
it was yeah, right around that time. So this is a mashup that was arranged by the brilliant Stephen Cuevas, who was one of the MDs on the Kinky Boots tour. So it is.
Oh, no
it was Sondheim's is basically the birthday Joe's Pub concert that Maggie Larkin and David Levy produce every year. And so this past year they did Sondheim's mixtape, and so they had a bunch of Sondheim mixed with other shows. So this is called Into the Fun Home. And I just think it's so smart. And I love doing it. I especially love doing it, which just will make sense when you hear it. Doing it in slightly more conservative communities.
Yes.
Because it is just a little of like, oh. So I think that's all we need to know.
Great. Let's listen to it.
What happened last night? Are you really here? Joan, 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 Joan. Hi, Joan! Don't wake up, Joan! Oh my God, last night. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, last night. Mother said, straight ahead, not to delay or be misled. I should have heeded her advice, but she seemed so nice. When you're way up high and you're on your own in a world like none that you've ever known, where the sky is lead and the earth is stone, you're free to do whatever pleases you, exploring things you'd never dare, cause you don't care when suddenly there's a big, tall, terrible Joan at the door. A big, tall, terrible lady Joan sweeping the floor. And she gives you food and she gives you rest, and she draws you close to her giant breast. I got so excited, I was too enthusiastic. Thank you for not laughing. Well, you laughed a little bit at one point when I was touching you and said I might lose consciousness, which you said was adorable. And I just have to trust that you don't think I'm an idiot or some kind of an animal. I never lost control due to overwhelming lust, but I must say that I'm changing my major to Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan, with a minor in kissing Joan. Foreign study to Joan's inner thighs, a seminar on Joan's ass in her Levi's, and Joan's crazy brown eyes. Joan, I feel like Hercules. Oh God, that sounds ridiculous. Just keep on sleeping through this and I'll work on calming down. So by the time you've woken up, I'll be cool, I'll be collected, and I'll have found some dignity. But who needs dignity? Cause this is so much better. I'm radiating happiness. Will you stay here with me for the rest of the semester? We won't need any food. We'll live on sex alone. Sex with Joan! And she showed me things, many beautiful things that I hadn't thought to explore. They were off my path, so I never had dared. I had been so careful, I never had cared. And she made me feel excited, well, excited and scared. I am writing a thesis on Joan. It's a cutting-edge field, and my mind is blown. I will gladly stay up every night to hone my compulsory skills with Joan. I will study my way down her spine, familiarize myself with her well-made outline, while she researches mine. And you think of all of the things you've seen, and you wish that you could live in between, and you're back again, only different than before. After the sky, and I know things now, many valuable things that I hadn't known before. Do not put your faith in a cape and a hood. They will not protect you the way that they should. And take extra care with strangers, even flowers have their dangers. And though scary is exciting, nice is different than good.
Yeah,
genius!
Oh my gosh, Amy, Joe, and Henry, amazing.
Okay, I love that because I feel like changing my major never got its full like moment. I think it did get its moment. So good. Well, I feel like
Ring of Keys walked away with everything. Also, that's also because Sidney Lucas was just transcendent with that song, and because it's so like. The feel of it isn't anthemic, but the subject matter is like iconic and anthemic.
Yes.
But Changing My Major, I think, is
it's so good.
Funny and so beautiful and so moving and so like, oh my God. Like I remember like that girl, that
That time in your life where it just
Where it awakens.
It awakens you. You feel like that's all you want to do is to like sleep with someone, you know, like
mash your body with someone else's body.
And just sit there and like watch them sleep yeah. so you can look at their cheekbones, right. you know?
Very oh evocative.
God. We're all dead Very inside good. Now. Oh,
so,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Into the Woods, also part of that. I have a question for you. So are you a fan of the recent sort of renaissance of the movie musicals? And do you, like, have you seen, you know, did you see the, I would love to hear your opinion on The Greatest Showman. I would love to hear, like, what you think of the sort of adaptations that have been happening and
sure.
like what your thoughts are on all of them.
I am a fan of anything that employs more theater people.
There okay. you go.
Great.
So for, and especially employs them in a thing that's going to make them a lot of money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like Keala Settle. Come on. She performed in the Oscars. Like that's
yes,
our girl.
She did.
You know,
yes,
like
she did.
I'm thrilled when that sort of thing happens. I don't necessarily need to take it in. Like I right. will, like I went and saw Into the Woods because that was my favorite show, like for like all of adolescence.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like talk about, okay, talk about like
a
culture moment.
Moment.
Like Aaron and I watched that so many times, that like video from
with
the original
Bernadette.
Yes,
and, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bernadette and Joanna Gleason, who
right,
I was
right,
obsessed
Joanna Gleason.
With.
Yeah. Truly amazing.
Oh, so brilliant. So
imagine
beautiful.
Being in the same show as Bernadette Peters as the witch and you win the Tony.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Unreal.
You know, that's at that played at the Martin Beck, which is now the Al Hirschfeld where Kinky Boots is. So like, you know, sometimes I'm just going to work. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to take notes, blah, blah, blah. But then sometimes
You're
I sit there and
that
go,
theater.
Oh my God, I am at this theater that I used to watch that stage on the daily.
Yep.
Like I go into the dressing room to say hey to somebody. I'm like, this was Bernadette Peters' dressing room
yep.
in 1987.
Wow.
When she had that hair, you know,
God.
I sometimes I'm able to take a step back and go like it makes that like it like makes no sense to
yeah.
the adolescent me because it's like I wanted it so badly and now there's a part of me that can take it for granted, which
I
is like, isn't that
insane? It becomes work.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm just doing my thing. Not
yeah.
that it's like bad,
right.
but just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to the stage door instead of like, you know what, that's awesome, that's really cool, like and to never lose that sense of wonder is something I work to remind myself
yes.
is important.
That's
you know?
Good.
It's
That's
actually
good.
Rule of culture number 12.
As
Leanne
Womack
once
said,
never lose that sense
of
wonder.
I think that is such a good exercise in just perspective, probably. It's just
yeah.
like, yeah, you're fucking working at that fucking theater.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's,
yeah.
And well, hold on 1 second.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the movie musical again. What do you want?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Can I just say again? Keala Settle performed
Settle.
On the Oscars.
Yeah.
I cried.
She got her moment.
She was amazing.
She got a camera circling the stage in that quiet part of the bridge moment.
Yeah. She was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She was bringing it home.
Well, and then even you have someone like Idina Menzel, who is
right.
like a huge Broadway mm-hmm. star, but like America didn't know until. Until the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem moment.
Dazeem.
God bless.
Yeah.
You know what I think people don't talk enough about that moment is the way he says, wickedly talented.
Yes, yes.
That to me is almost more mind-blowing than Adele
Dazeem.
It's just like, what are you doing, man? I love it.
I will never forget that for the rest of my life.
Why would you?
Never yeah. gets old.
No,
never.
It's always
never.
A real scream.
Yeah.
But like, that's something where it's just like, she was already like headlining how many Broadway shows and super famous and
right.
tweens
she was
buying
a part
her albums.
Of three cultural
phenomena.
Moments. Yeah.
Phenomena.
Yeah, phenomena.
And then, but then she like does this thing. People are like, oh, that's Elsa. And it's like, she's a
yeah.
different level,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
She is. She's amazing. We say she's the Rihanna of the suburbs.
Oh my
She's
God.
The minivan Rihanna. That's actually rule of culture number 68. Idina Menzel is the minivan Rihanna.
I am dead.
She is.
No,
moms and we're like, I don't care for Rihanna. You know who I like? Idina Menzel.
That's like it's just so perfect. I love it. Oh, that's good. Oh.
She probably could have some more hits.
We can aspire to career success that Idina Menzel has.
Please. Are you kidding?
Come on.
You know,
I mean,
come on.
Who thought she was going to be part of three cultural phenomenons? If you don't think it'll be 4 and 5 and 6, honey, I
yeah.
don't think so, honey.
Yeah, yeah,
step
yeah.
out of the way.
Yeah.
When she did you see If Then?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You did. Oh yeah, you did.
It was not my favorite moment.
Yeah, decidedly not.
Yes.
Not the favorite
However,
moment.
However, I will say that moment when the curtain rises and
yep.
she just goes, "It's me." I was like, "Oh fuck you!"
Yeah.
Like it was just. I was like,
"She's
of
such
course,
a star."
Of course, you can be like. It's me.
Yeah. Yep. She's a star. That's the thing is it's like that show was a little tough and her it's so funny that her top note was just that, like, that was like, she didn't go higher than that. Like, the score was very written, like, to her current skills.
Sure, sure, sure. Eight shows a week is brutal.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I have to tell you, it wasn't like it wasn't challenging. You know, when
when I saw it, she sounded fierce.
She did. She sounded fierce, and she can also act her ass off.
Oh, yeah.
And people forget that. People forget that Idina Menzel is a real musical theater actress, and it wasn't no mistake that Elphaba became iconic.
And
you know
she got a Tony for that shit.
She certainly did, and you know, it's just not a mistake. Idina Menzel, I think, is someone that people like take for granted or make a lot of jokes about exclusively.
People like you.
Well, I mean, like, I'm part of this community, and we all make, like, what, you don't?
I've never made a joke at Idina Menzel's
expense. You make
expense.
It your career. Bowen Yang goes on stage, and it's Idina Menzel cracks from the moment go.
That's whenever I've seen you do stand-up. That's been the bulk of your material.
It's been the bulk of my material, Idina Menzel focused.
It's just, Idina Menzel cracks.
I punch down at Idina Menzel.
He punches down at Idina.
I gotta say, I watched Frozen again this weekend after not seeing it since the theater.
Oh my god, now we're gonna get shade.
No, because I've been known to shit on Frozen.
You have been known to do that.
I enjoyed it much more the second time, and Idina is a really good voice acting.
She's extremely talented.
Very
have
talented.
You heard or seen anything of Frozen the musical?
I saw it in Colorado, darling.
Oh, right.
That was
Denver,
when I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
And how was it?
It's fun. I mean, you know, I think it's hard to take a short film and adapt it for the big stage, you know, so
and add numbers.
It definitely was the kind of thing where I was feeling like, you know, I would enjoy this more if I were younger, you know,
right.
But everyone's doing great work and it looks beautiful and there's some fierce singing.
Yeah, I heard that Let It Go is quite the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Casey Levy. So, I mean, talk about an instrument. Oh, my God. Like, I saw her in Hair and in First Daughter Suite at the Public and other stuff I'm forgetting. But like, that is one of those voices that it's just like, ooh, like you could bathe in it. So,
I would definitely bathe in Amy Jo's voice.
Oh, darling,
I've taken baths in it.
Of course,
I've taken baths in it. To be honest,
just a moonlight swim.
Just a moonlight swim
in the vocals.
We have to talk to Amy Jo about her Disney trip because you just went on a Disney trip recently.
Yes, and also my favorite thing about it is that you felt. You felt yourself getting under the weather, but soldiered through.
I sure did. Oh, honey, I came home and 3 days later got the flu.
Oh,
I am only now, like, recently over it.
Damn.
But, you know, it's because I was like, I'm not going to go back to the hotel. We're going to Epcot, you know?
Yeah, no, you have, that's actually rule of culture number 19. You're going to Epcot.
Don't go to the hotel. Okay, well, we're so sorry to hear that you weren't feeling well.
Oh, well, it's all behind me now. You know?
Thank God.
Yes.
All right, so highlights of the trip.
Well, we were talking a bit beforehand. So we went, it was my first time going when Pandora was open.
Oh, yes.
And I have a friend who's actually one of my dressers on Mermaid, one of the three people that it took to get me in and out of the costume.
No kidding.
And
so
she, shortly after Mermaid, relocated down to Disney.
Yeah.
Like she was working there. And so then I saw her briefly the last time I was there. And then I was like, hey, I'm going to be around. Are you still working this? She's like, oh no, I work at Pandora now. And we had only been able to get a fast pass for the river. I remember going messaging you.
Yes.
Like, is this like Flight of the Avatar situation? Is this going to be worth waiting for 6 hours? You're like, well, yes and no and blah, blah, blah.
I gave you a very nebulous answer.
No, but it was useful because we're also like, I was there with my parents and a friend.
Right.
And none of us are like, super hardcore Parkers. You know what I mean?
Right.
We weren't like, I must complete this or I will feel. We were like, it'd be great to go.
Yeah.
If we're going to have to wait 3 hours, we are not doing it.
Right.
You know, there are other things we would rather do with our time.
Yes.
So I messaged her and she was like, well, let me know when it gets closer because I work a couple of those rides.
Okay.
So maybe I can work something kind of depending on how things work out. So I'm like messaging her on Instagram and like the number I have to text her is like an old number. So I can't get through to her. And we go on the river ride, which I thought was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Like I was like, I love a, like, let me just sit down and look at shit. Ride.
Okay. So it's beautiful, but it's also like, it's boring. But if you
no,
think
it's
if
not
you're
boring,
into
it's
it,
serene.
Ah! But the animatronic at the end is pretty amazing.
It's really cool.
It's very
like,
cool.
And it's just, I just was sitting there like, I'm just enjoying looking at, like, they had those leaves where
the bioluminescent.
And then you're seeing, like, the frogs on the other side of it, which, you know, is just a computer screen. But I'm like, it looks so cool.
It
like,
looks great.
I loved that. So we're, like, leaving that. And I'm like, well, I haven't seen my friend Mamie. And I was like, well, I guess, you know, she's working, so she probably can't get back to me. So we're, like, we're literally walking out of the ride, like, trying to get out. And she comes walking this way, and I'm like, ah! So, it was, you know, it was great to see her because she's adorable and I love her. And then she was like, oh, you guys just wrote this? Let's get you over to the Avatar ride. So she marches us right up to the Fastpass line. It's like, can you work some magic for these folks here today? And they're like, sure can. So we went straight to Fastpass and we were all like a giddy. So it was great. And then it was so fun. It was incredible.
It's amazing.
Beautiful ride.
It's a stunner.
Yeah. It's a stunner.
We loved it. So it turned out to be like one of those like a truly magical Disney moment. It was great. And then we went, you know, we did a bunch of that stuff and we went to Universal. And so I hadn't been to Harry Potter World before.
Oh, and what did you
and
think?
Again, me liking a serene ride. My favorite part was the Hogwarts Express going back and forth.
Oh, it's beautiful. Like, that's very nice.
This is great. I just like to ride trains anyway. But it's so cute and it's all well done. And I just thought it was, the attention to detail was incredible. That's really what fuels me. I'm like, I like this attention to, I just want to go in the shops to look and see what they have up on the second level.
Yeah. Well, truly, I mean, the best part of Diagon Alley and of Hogsmeade is it is just so transportive. It's
you walk in and it's literally the shot from the film.
Yeah.
That's what's so crazy is that they were able to accomplish that, like, whatever it is, like a trick of the eye, especially when you round the corner and you see Hogwarts for the first time.
Yeah.
It is the iconic picture
of Hogwarts.
But it's real, and they make it look so much bigger than it is with that kind of like landscape.
Speaking of that, a few years ago, we went. I was with my family and Aaron and Jeff, my now husband, in London, and we went to the studio tour.
Yes,
which we were all kind of like, whatever, this will be fine. And I had forgotten, like, no, movie magic is awesome, and they saved so much stuff because they didn't know what they'd be using from film to film because the books weren't done. And they have just so much of the practical stuff there. So you go and there's the costumes everywhere. And that basically they do like a little like intro video and then you go into the Great Hall and you're there for like 10 minutes. And then you have as long as you want to walk through the rest of the exhibit. So you can be there for hours. They have like a little audio guide. And then at the end, the last big thing is the model of Hogwarts, which I was like, oh, this will be cool. Like, Jeff walked in ahead of me. I was like looking at some sketches and comes in. He's like, you gotta come in. You gotta come in.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay. And I walked in. I started crying. Like, it's just talk about attention to detail because it's so small. And that's the kind of stuff that you like see on a DVD special features type thing. Like, we were obsessed with Lord of the Rings in high school and at college. I guess I was in college. Aaron was in high school. But like, here's a culture moment. Aaron and I together saw Lord of the Rings in theaters. Fellowship of the Rings 8 times.
Oh my
eight?
God. What is that? Over almost 30 That's hours?
About 24 hours of your life. But like, we saw it like over Christmas break, and then we also went over the spring break because it was still in theaters. But we were just like, our whole group of friends was like so nerdy. We're like, well, I gotta go back. I gotta see those horses and I gotta see those water horses, you know? And then, you know, we saw the others a few times in theaters too, but not 8, I will say. But
the others? Like,
well,
the
Nicole
Kidman. Wait, hold on. I thought you meant the others with Nicole Kidman.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Common misconception
I did see
there.
The hours in theaters,
beautiful.
But not 8 times. No. Toni Collette's presence notwithstanding. I love that Toni Collette.
You love Toni Collette. Tony. You know, that puts you in the company of John Early.
Yes.
John Early has great taste.
Yes, he does have fantastic taste. Okay, I do love a good Toni Collette too, though.
Oh, who doesn't?
Have you? So, in high school, like, I was obsessed with the Lacusa Wild Party. I got into it because
I forget that she was in there.
She was Queenie. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I also loved Alan Cumming. Like, I loved that Emma with Gwyneth Paltrow and all of them.
Oh, wow.
I watched that came out like right at the appropriate time for me to be like, oh, Jane Austen.
96,
you know?
I think.
That sounds about right.
You know,
I remember seeing it in theaters and being like, this is highly enjoyable. And who's this girl?
Yeah, right.
And then, like, anything that she was in, I was like, I'm on board. And so then listening to that, I was so into it. And still, it's like, that fits my voice so well. And I love Lacusa. Like, all of Lacusa, I just want to sing all the time. Which is hard because he's not an easy composer to bring into an audition room. So I have to do it just for my own pleasure.
Sure. Right. Is Emma what Clueless is based on?
Of,
okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Really does open a lot of doors to culture, I would say.
Oh, yes.
I think Clueless predates the Gwyneth Paltrow Emma.
That's probably true. You know, Jane Austen was out of fashion for a while.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, of course, she is everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't turn around without
seeing
Jane
Austen. She's like, I may be dead, but I'm alive through my work, bitches. So.
What if she became huge?
And what do you mean, Jane Austen?
Yeah.
I feel like,
like, she, what, like, what I'm saying, like, what if for some reason Jane Austen became like as big as Selena Gomez?
I feel like if they make
like posthumously Jane Austen all of a sudden like set the world on fire.
In my circles, Jane Austen's much bigger than Selena Gomez.
Thank you.
You're just hanging out with different folk.
That's actually rule of culture number 101. In our circles, Jane Austen's much bigger than Selena Gomez.
If they make the right movie, if they make the right adaptation, then like, yeah, like,
I want to see a modern. Is there a modern day Pride and Prejudice?
What's her face? Kira
Knightley.
Hold
on, wait. Can I gag for a second?
Please.
I just saw the Cruel Intentions musical because our friend Amanda Schechtman is the swing for it, and we saw her go on as Sarah Michelle Gellar's part.
Uh-huh.
It was really fun.
I haven't even seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't seen the movie
either.
No. The movie is naughty.
Naughty.
In the 90s, I was seeing some things, but mostly I was just watching West Side Story. So I missed a lot.
Good for you.
Stuff.
Well, this is like a 90s jukebox musical. Like, they throw in, it's like very one of those. Like, they have like all the hits from the 90s. Like, the first song that Amanda sings is, 'Cause I'm the only one who walk across the fire for you.
Oh, that's fun.
That Melissa I don't even know what that is.
Oh, Melissa Etheridge.
I've heard of her.
This would be a good cultural moment for you to pick up on Melissa Etheridge.
You know what? The amount, I listen very deeply to what I listen to, but I don't listen widely. So there's just a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, but
I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm. That's better. Because I cast too wide of a net and then like nothing sticks.
I just get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of what I don't knew.
No, that's fair. Know? That's fair.
I get off book on a very small number of things.
Yes, yes.
Like,
I can do Sondheim's oeuvre for you, which is many lyrics.
Which is many lyrics and many songs.
But I'm like, I know a couple Mariah Carey songs, sure.
There you go.
And she's great, but I just don't know.
You connect to what you connect to.
That's so true.
Is Sondheim number one for you?
Probably most formative, I would say. I mean, as far as the composer that has my most number of favorite musicals, probably.
Sure.
Like, because, like, there's Into the Woods. Sweeney Todd, obviously.
Sweeney,
like,
is my favorite.
Is, I just think, is perfect. I love A Little Night Music. I can do that from this moment right now till the moment I literally die on stage mid-show. Because there's, like, parts for me from now until...
Yeah,
until then.
Yeah.
If I could
die
on cue, I think that would be like, I would have achieved some kind of Zen state. Like, that would be all I could wish for, is to like let the playing card gracefully fall off my hand and be like, I'm out, you know?
How Black Swan, Amy.
It was perfect.
Yes.
It was perfect.
I did it.
Unreal.
Then they'd just wheel me off stage and I wouldn't come on for curtain call. They'd be like, oh, I hope she's okay. No. You
she
saw her
passed.
Die on stage.
Did you see the Little Night Music with Ms. Zeta Jones?
I did, and with Stritch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you enjoy?
I did. I mean, like, I thought it was very lush. And Aaron Lazar, if we want to talk about vocals, for days, I also think he's an incredible performer. So he played Carl Magnus, who's the one who sings in praise of women. So, and I saw it with Aaron and my parents. And like, he goes to the point, the woman's mine. And we just turn to each other and like roll our eyes. We're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, he's too
in
good.
The way that like, I want to listen to it all the time. We also saw him because I saw Light in the Piazza a few times.
Oh.
So I saw Matthew Morrison a couple times and then Aaron Lazar took over. And I'm like, I'm really interested to see how someone does after Matthew Morrison, because I thought Matthew Morrison was very charming and tender and beautiful in the
That's
role.
That's what he do.
And then Aaron Lazar comes in because he also has a much more like operatic sound than Matthew Morrison.
Yeah.
I was like, who are you? I think he's splendid.
Wow.
He is great. I saw him in The Last Ship. He's one of those people that I'd be like, I'll go see a show because of that. Him, as far as like male vocalists, there's him and then Paul Nolan, who was in Bright Star. He was the lead of Bright Star with Carmen Cusack.
Cool.
And there's do you guys know Carmen Cusack?
I know Carmen Cusack because I back in the day when I used to go to the wormhole of Defying Gravity performances, hers was a standout.
She has done Elphaba. She has, I think, done Christine in Phantom.
Wow.
I can't even remember, but it's just stuff you're like, one
that
person shouldn't be
there,
able to do all of that.
Yeah.
But she can, and effortlessly. And then just the two of them at Bright Star, because they're also such incredible actors. I was just like, oh, hallelujah, because I love going to musicals, but I do feel often the singing is more prioritized than the acting.
Absolutely.
But to see two unbelievable vocalists, like people who you're like, I can't believe your technique and the way it marries with your intention and the style, but who are also such deep, precise, incredible actors. I was just like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
But I also saw Paul Nolan in once when I went to go see it, who was playing the guy. And just like his his instrument is unbelievable. If you can, if you ever get a chance to see him perform, I don't know the guy. I just think he's great. Same with Aaron Lazar. I'm like, I will talk all day about people I think are talented, you know?
I was so excited when I was going to see Wicked because I was going to see Annalee Ashford, who did go on, who is a true gem as Glinda. And I was going to see Stephanie J. Block, and Stephanie J. used her understudy.
That's all right.
Well, it's, you know, who with
marked
that show.
It.
Oh, no, that's not okay.
She marked Defying Gravity.
Well.
With Wicked, there's a, like, the standbys go on a lot. Because
I would
it
imagine.
Is one of those shows that you probably shouldn't be singing eight shows a week. It's a lot. It's just, it's very vocally rigorous.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Well, I did my first I Don't Think So Honey on Wicked.
You did? Oh my gosh.
So like it's not one of the
filler
shows
songs.
I feel called to do.
Right.
But it is one of those that I've thought like, man, that would be a great technical exercise. And like, can I get my voice in shape to do that shit? You know? It's one of those I'm like, I mean, maybe I could, but I'd rather do it for another show. Because there are people who that is their story they long to tell. And I say, God bless, go do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Although you would slay as both Elphaba and as Madame Morrible, or even Glinda, too.
I was going to say, I would want to do Madame Morrible.
I would want to do
I think I could slay the gig.
Madame Morrible.
Glinda came, Glinda, God. Wicked came out midway through my college experience.
Uh-huh.
And so... I didn't belt at that point in my life. Like, I just didn't know how.
Uh-huh.
I was like this legit soprano who was like, oh, maybe I have an alto as well. And that I just didn't know how to bring that up. But like to bring it up through the chest, I'm talking technical terms. But there was, I just remember a friend of mine being like, there's this new show called Wicked. There's a great part for you. Let me play you.
Oh.
And he starts playing, my dear. And I was like, I know you're not trying to be mean, but fuck you. Like, all I do is play old women already. And I was like, I'm 20.
My dear.
But I think Madame Morrible as a role has aged very well.
Oh, totally.
Many years we have waited.
I think the part where she's like, as press secretary. Like, yeah. I want to do that.
Wow, that's
so
you.
Bad.
You should do that, Bowen.
I want to be Madame Morrible.
You should email them.
I'll send an email.
Well, Amy Jo knows people.
Yeah. I've got
she's
a lot
in,
of
she's
friends
up in the Hirschfeld.
Right.
She's up in the Hirschfeld.
They know the Gershwin. Up in the Hirsch.
Title of EP. She's up in the Hirschfeld. That's it.
Wow. Oh my God.
And
amazing.
I think we've now arrived not at our finale song,
no,
but at the coup de grace, our 11 o'clock number, if
oh,
you will,
yeah, I will,
of this episode of Las Culturistas, which is I Don't Think So, Honey. Mm. Now, Bowen, explain to the kids listening at home who may not know what I Don't Think So, Honey is all about.
I Don't Think So, Honey is a 1 minute unit of time in which you deliver an oral missive against something that you that is just getting your goat. So we all know the drill.
We all know the drill. We have 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right, so I think I will go first.
You will go first?
Which has kind of become canon.
No. I think if you go back and crunch the numbers, it's a pretty balanced
yeah,
frequency.
Okay.
But all right, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, credit card minimums. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Don't be talking all the zeitgeist about Bitcoin. We haven't, even figured out our money situation now. Okay, listen. I want no credit card minimums. No one carries cash.
Mm.
There's none of it. I have my credit card and my debit card, and I need to be able to use it.
Yeah.
If you are telling me that a credit card minimum is $8, and I come to you with $5 of stuff, and you say, no, go get something, just
seconds.
No, I'm not passionately shopping at your store anymore. You think I'm buying this extra kombucha, now I have two, and there's no joy there. You haven't given me a joyous experience, and that is part of your job as a shopkeep. I Don't Think So, Honey.
15 seconds.
These shopkeeps who aren't putting time into creating a good atmosphere by reinforcing or enforcing the rule that is a credit card minimum. Honey, I don't carry cash. I don't think it's
seconds.
A good idea to carry cash in the streets. I have money. Let me use it. I Don't Think So, Honey, credit card minimums.
And that's 1 minute. Wow. I passionately agree with you.
There should not be credit card minimums. And guess what? It's not like the machine won't work. Like, because
it's about... They changed the law.
What?
On like the percentage. Look at me talking about stuff
what
I only barely know about. Used to, it
that's
was
us
the
this
same,
whole show.
Yeah, right. Used to, it was the same percentage, I think, no matter what you bought.
Okay.
So they took certain percentages of, like, you're buying a dollar worth of something and they're taking, like, you know, however many cents, sure. But it's all at the same percentage. And so that was more just like an irritating thing because people just didn't want to run the credit card.
Got it.
At least in New York City, I don't know how it works elsewhere, but now they charge you more if it's under a certain amount.
I see.
Certain places like Starbucks, where they're doing a lot of business under a certain amount, doesn't matter because the volume will cancel it out. But like a bodega isn't necessarily gonna. So it I don't know when that changed. It was in the last few years or so. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's accurate.
Well, I only vaguely understand, but I still don't care.
No, it's still irritating.
Yeah, I don't
like
it.
It's just like, if I have cash, it's like a miracle.
Truly a miracle.
Can I Venmo this bodega?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And then you go, and they say, well, the ATM's over there, and you go over there, and it's like a $3 charge.
And I have definitely, I mean, this doesn't happen anymore with the chip, but I've definitely had, with like a bodega ATM, had one of those... They can, like, put... I found out from my bank after my credit card number got stolen.
What?
No.
They have, like...
Don't
someone
even.
Can put in a little, like, insert into the machine so you run it and it takes an imprint of it. Because
damn.
I was like, how did they get my number? I didn't lose my card. And the banker's like, well, did you ever use, like, a... Blah, blah, blah? I was like, yes. And they're like, okay, well, what the scam is... And, like, walked me through, like, how someone can get your number. I don't understand how it works,
wow.
But, like, that's the gig.
Well,
that's
I'm happy gig. That everyone knows that. And I will say one thing before we move on, which is, in relation to that, if you ever get a call from a number that you don't recognize and they ask you, is this so-and-so? Never say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Always say, who's calling? Or, this is he or she? Or whatever. Because they can record you saying yes and use that to confirm purchases.
This is just why I don't ever answer the phone.
There you go.
Don't ever answer.
Text me. Email me.
Text
you hear
emailing
that?
Me, Joe. Also, I would pay, I would greenlight a series of Amy Jo Jackson just with her elocution, just explain anything. Just,
and
just
I would EP. I'm going to EP.
Yeah. EP.
Maddie you greenlight. I'll EP.
Thank you. Okay.
No one's big in the studio system.
I've heard that.
Yes. As
all right,
we all know.
So, and speaking of Bowen,
all right.
Now is his I Don't Think So Honey. And Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey on this, the Amy Jo Jackson episode of Las Culturistas, which will be entitled She's Up in the Hirschfeld. His time begins now.
I don't think so, honey. Airbnb's upstate, bitch. I was trying to find a decent, well-priced Airbnb for my spur-of-the-moment trip to upstate New York, specifically Woodstock, New York, / Stanfordshire, I believe. But anyway, we ended up staying at this... decrepit, it might as well have been condemned, honey, this terrible cottage that was filled with, horrible little garage sale tchotchkes. The bed was barely functional, honey. And I have to say, burn every wooden structure upstate and rebuild with the iron, honey. Build glass buildings or iron buildings. I can't stand these wooden buildings. They rot and they're horrible. And I don't think so, honey. Going upstate, having a great
time,
and then going to some dusty, disgusting, dank little room to sleep and to ruin the whole experience.
And that's 1 minute.
It really just ruined the whole upstate experience for
me. I'm so sorry that happened.
Because you want a wooden building to be folksy, not like termite ridden.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not like unusable.
I needed a folksy, bespoke, is that the right word? But I just wanted a nice little...
You wanted a rustic experience.
I wanted thank you. Rustic is what I was looking
for. Rustic is the word he was looking for, not bespoke. This is the second time.
Is this an historic occasion?
An historic occasion.
Have... corrected Bowen on his grammatical and sayings.
I would remind the audience. I would remind the audience that Matt said the word, what was it? Instead of
spontaneous
instead of superstitious.
That's fine, I think.
That's fine. Okay.
All right. So this is Amy Jo Jackson's I Don't Think So Honey. And then after Amy Jo Jackson's I Don't Think So Honey, we are going to debut a new segment before the final number.
Oh, sure.
Amy Jo Jackson. Your I Don't Think So Honey time begins now.
I Don't Think So Honey, people who find out how old I am and then tell me they're shocked because I look so much younger than that and are thinking I should take it as some kind of compliment.
Oh!
No, I don't think so, only for a couple reasons. One, you've reminded me of a very painful professional reality, which is I don't look old enough for the parts I should be playing. So just rub salt in the wound, baby. So thanks a lot. But more importantly, I don't think so, honey, this fetishization of youth, this idea that we're supposed to be flattered to be told we look like infants.
Yes.
I don't think so, honey. Yes, do I take care of my skin? Of course. I don't want skin cancer / I would love to look like Helen Mirren when I am her age.
Yeah.
But that is to say, I just want to look stunning. I don't want to look 20 fucking 2. I have experience. I have skill. I have wisdom. I have more self-confidence and more assuredness because
seconds.
I am a woman who is 34,
yes.
who will be 35 in June.
Yes,
I'm not 26.
Queen.
I was a mess at 26. Who wants to be 26? It was fine. It's better now. So fuck you
Five
for
seconds.
Thinking that that should be the biggest compliment I could receive. I don't think so, honey.
That is 1 minute.
Oh my goodness.
Stunning. And tersely on time.
Man. That is
terse,
that, that
is terse, that, right?
I don't know. That's a stunner of an I don't think
that
so,
That was
honey.
Amazing. And you know what? It was literally exactly 1 minute long.
Wow.
Not a verb over.
Here's okay, Amy, would you accept this as a compliment? Your skin, when I walked in the room, looked radiant
yes.
and still looks radiant.
What you can say instead is something like, your skin looks amazing,
yes.
or you have such great skin. And I do have people
or
who tell me that.
You are gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, there's, like, here's the thing. You don't know what is going on with a particular person.
Sure.
So even to, like, we say a lot of stuff that's like, oh my God, you like, have you lost weight? You look great. But, like, for instance, I have a very dear friend who went through a terrible illness in the last couple of years, and she's much better now, but she was, like, it was scary, really scary. And for a while there, like she was in and out of the hospital, but was trying to keep it on the down low so that like it wouldn't affect work.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people didn't know about it. But she got very thin and was already like a thin person to begin with.
Right.
And apparently people were coming up to her and being just like, oh my God, you look amazing. What's your secret? She's like, I don't know, almost death, but she can't say that.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, you just don't know. But there are ways to say the spirit of what you're trying to say.
Yes.
Without
it being so loaded.
That, well, and also, like, I think we're all taught to take, like, you look young as a compliment. You know what I hate, too, is when
Go.
I get carded when I can tell that they are trying to flirt with me or flatter me. It's different when, like, say you're in Boston or, like, a university. I was just working in Syracuse. That's a university town. They
right.
card everybody. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You have to be super strict because there's a lot of people trying to get in places they shouldn't be.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with when it's someone who's clearly trying to, like, flatter me. I'm like, that doesn't flatter me because I do not look like I'm 20.
Yeah.
That's...
I don't want to look like that. I have a round face. When I buzz my hair, it makes more sense because that's more of an extreme choice and
but
my eyes look
then...
bigger. But even then, I was like, you don't actually think I'm 20.
No.
But you think that that's going to flatter me because we're all socially told we're supposed to look like we're in our mid-20s at most.
Yeah.
And that we have no value as we get older. I just think that's such bullshit.
Yes.
It pisses me off. It like makes me irate in those moments. I'm like, this is a stranger. I don't need to give them this much. I don't need to engage with them, but it's hard.
It's tough.
But also, and quoth Amy Jo Jackson, who needs to be 26? Who wants to be 26?
No, we're messes.
No.
And we're 20. I'm 28 now.
I'm 27.
And,
26 sucked.
And yeah, we're just...
There's a lot
Mercury's
going
in retrograde.
Yeah.
Mercury's in retrograde right now, and it's really hard. So we are about to debut a new segment, and you are the first guest.
La la.
Yes.
So this is called, and tell me if you like this name.
Okay, go.
Voice Mem. Oh, you bitch.
Oh, that's fun.
So we are going to have some fan favorites, some people we've had on the show, some people send in some voice memos, and we're going to hear what they have to say, and we're all going to discuss their thoughts and opinions. Our voice memo, you bitch, is... today, from Joel Kim Booster, friend of the show, culture war judge, iconic young man.
It's clocking in at 5 minutes, so we'll see.
We'll see.
Let's hear.
Okay. I have not heard this yet.
1 second.
Hello, Los Culturistas. It's
Butcher's
me,
the
Joel
name.
Kim Booster.
Butcher's the name.
Some of you might remember me as the very first return guest that Los Culturistas has ever seen. That's right. It was me. It was not Pat Regan, despite what he might say.
Wow.
Pat, if it didn't air, it didn't happen. That's like one of the first rules of podcasting that they wrote down.
Coming hard for the villain.
When they started podcasting, the first podcast. Anyways, I'm here once again, a first as the very first voice memo. Alamo correspondent. I'm here to talk about my favorite show, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
Some of you also might know this about me, but I did once recap RuPaul's Drag Race for Vulture, New York Magazine's online entertainment blog.
Yes.
And I went back to do that again this past year for All Stars 3, and they said that someone had taken the job from me, that younger, less funny people had approached them and
the two younger, less funny people
lies about me and stolen the job right out from under me, and I was very dismayed to find out that those people were actually my two close friends, Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Okay.
It was the least that they could do to let me record this message to talk about some thoughts I had about the show. So let's get into it. I just want to talk about my top four. And those people are Monet Exchange from New York. I love Monet. I think she's so funny and so beautiful on the show. I think she's so talented. I was not excited about Monet going into the seasons. I don't know why. I think it was partially because I think five New York queens is just so many.
It's a lot.
Like, New York in Drag Race is sort of like Russia in figure skating, in that like they should only allow to compete in the Olympics, you know, like they only allow two Russian girls because there are like seven Russian girls that are the best in the world, that are so much better than anybody else any other country could send, and it's just like, it's a boring watch, and that's sort of how I feel about them. Like, give us more queens from like Cincinnati, Ohio, or
I say that every year,
you know, like, how is Blair St. Clair the first Indiana queen we've seen? Like, give us more flyover queens. That's what I want to see in future seasons, because they're kind of bad, and sometimes that makes for a good TV.
Magnolia Crawford.
My next
Magnolia.
I did not love her sponge dress look, but I still think she should be in the top three for it. I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense. That's a contradiction. But guess what? Like, I am allowed to contradict myself, and I am allowed to take anything I say back from these voice memos, because I am a gay person living in Trump's America, and that is a right that is still afforded to me. It has not been taken away from me yet, so I reserve the right to just reverse myself several times within the span of this voice memo. My number two pick is Miss Cracker, also from New York. I think she is so funny and beautiful, and has an incredible pedigree to do well in the show. She's Bob's drag daughter. And I love that she's giving us like shades of Sasha Velour, that headiness, that creativeness, but she's fun to watch. She's different from Sasha. Gave us one of the top 10 gags of the show's history, but she was not fun TV, and so I would love to see more fun from Miss Cracker. I love that she said her brand was stupid. Like, give us more stupid, you stupid bitch. You know, like, don't give us a mime act on the runway and like some high concept shit. Like, be funny. I don't want to see some sad widow with your downturned eyebrows.
I love
on the runway.
Look.
I don't know. I thought the look was a gag, though. I thought she should have
put her at the top.
My number three is Monique Hart.
Yes,
same,
Joel.
She's so beautiful. I think she was robbed from the top three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Specifically robbed by Yuha, which I know that this is going to sound unfair, but Bowen, as a Chinese person, you are responsible for everything that she says and does on the show.
I actually agree.
The problematic she does is sort of by extension your fault.
I agree with
that. So keep that in mind. Okay. Collect your people. I know it might not sound fair, but that is how the world works.
Got about another minute.
That is how the world
everybody's
works.
Everybody's watching.
Confirmed.
I hope that she does better for your sake.
Okay.
I was almost going to pick Mayhem for this spot, but I think that Mayhem, I love her. I think she's beautiful and I want her to do well. But anybody who cries that much on reality television is not primed.
It's a lot of crying.
I'm sorry. They are going to set her up so, so high only to knock her down. We are going to see her cry many, many more times this season. I can feel it. My number four spot, Matt, you have already given me shade for this online. It's Asia O'Hara. I think she's beautiful. I think she's one of the fishiest queens this season. I think that beat, look at that fucking face and tell me that
one
beat
more minute,
isn't legendary. I think
she needs to do more.
Comes from a prestigious pageant past, which, you know, like Coco, like Alyssa, like Kennedy Davenport, I think she's going to do well.
Okay,
on
so
the
show that talent on the show.
She can slay a lip sync. I think she's beautiful. And Matt, for you to give throw shade at me for picking her just makes you a dumb white bitch. You are the dumbest person I think I've ever met. And
I wear both those things like a badge of honor, actually.
On our conversation online about Asia O'Hara, and you will feel ashamed.
No,
because
I won't.
She will be in the top, and you will feel so stupid.
Her intro look was
and
basic.
And if she does go home next week, I again reserve the right to say that she was never in my top four. I never said that.
You can take it back.
Recorded. Yeah. Once again, I will deny, yep. And you will never. You'll never hear me say that I am wrong because, when talking about this show, you can't ever really be wrong because no. What is this show? There are no rules. Anyways, those are my thoughts. I love you both. Goodbye.
Okay. Well, that's our first
voice memo. Oh, you bitch. And I think he said a lot of groundbreaking things. I don't think Asia belongs in the top four unless she really turns it up. Are you watching this season?
Oh, are you kidding?
Come on. Yeah.
Yes.
Devoted fan.
What about you? Who are your favorites?
I love Monet.
Yeah, Monet's great.
Yeah, Monique Hart, I'm also really into. Killer. Harley the Queens was my favorite.
Yes, absolutely. The ooh-ah-ah sensation.
I just, like, gagged for her. I was like, adorable, so funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Cracker's, like, back and forth with the judges. I was like, we're going to get...
professional level.
I've been following most of them on Instagram for ages anyway.
Right. Yes.
Because that's, like, half of what I follow on Instagram and drag queens.
Yeah, same.
But I haven't seen her perform live. And I was like, oh, we're going to get some good stuff out of this queen.
Oh, so. She's great life. She's got some great old mixes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't think that he's wrong that Asia is... I don't think Asia will go home soon. I just don't think she's top four.
Sure. Well, on that, let's listen to Amy Jo's last number.
Yes. Now, this is going to take us out. Amy Jo, thank you literally so much for being here.
Oh, a true, like, dream, delight, pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our... honor to expose your glorious talent and let everyone know again that Amy Jo Jackson is in I Want to Be Your Man on April 13th at 9:30 p.m. This is one night only, people, at Green Room 42 in New York City.
And a quick little tip is that tickets are $5 more at the door, so book in advance.
Book in advance. We always love to see the bookings in advance.
We all love the bookings
Do
in advance.
Do your friends a favor if you know you're going by a goddamn ticket.
Yeah, buy in advance. We're having a heart attack
it's
on the day
peace
of.
Peace of mind, goddammit.
All right, so briefly intro this next
sure.
piece.
Sure. So this next piece is from a show called The Lion, which played off-Broadway a few years ago. So my friend Ben Scheuer, who I've known, we weren't in college together, but we were both in college in Boston at the same time. So I've known him since I was like 18. Mm-hmm. And he's a singer-songwriter and has written some musicals, like just a regular book musical type thing, as well as like he's played with a band for many years. And I like would run into him in the city a lot. And I ran into him. We were both like rehearsing the same building. He's like, oh, I have this show. And I missed it in the first go round, and then it got remounted down on Bleecker Street. I was like, oh, I've got to go now that I can see this. And it's basically the overall idea is it's him, like a coming of age story, and also grapples a lot with the death of his father at a young age. Mm. But he plays like six different guitars. He's an incredible guitarist, and he writes all these songs. The show is like an hour 15 maybe. And I just like felt all the feelings because it's so funny and so beautiful. And then toward the end of the show, you find out like, and this is something I didn't know about him because we weren't close at this point in his life, but like he struggled with cancer for a few years and like it was a really dark time. So I was sitting next to someone who like we had known who each other were from like mutual friends, but we hadn't met. We ended up sitting next to one another, the amazing pianist Drew Wuttke. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's you, blah, blah, blah. So we're sitting there basically just having met, holding hands, weeping the whole time because it was so incredible. So this song, in the context of the show, is his girlfriend, he's telling the story of his girlfriend as though it's his girlfriend's perspective. So it's kind of a gender bent moment because he sang it,
sure.
But it's meant to be the girlfriend character he talks
nice.
About.
You're bending the gender bend.
Always.
Well, let's listen.
Yes, and thank you guys so much for listening. This is Amy Jo Jackson. Enjoy, and with of course, with Henry Kapersky sounding lovely as well. Here we go.
I'm going to the invisible cities where the pace is different than the one we know. I'm bringing only one not-so-big suitcase, and I might ask you to send some things. I need a little time to explore the world alone, make some friends who've never met you, speak a language you don't know, do some dances unfamiliar in some clothes you'll never see. I might lose a little you there, but in your place I'll find a bit more me.
I met a puppy. His name is Arturo, and he rests his pointy face on my shoulder when I'm lying in bed. Here in an invisible city, I met a woman, and her name is Nati, and she lets me share her bed with her, me and Arturo. I need a little time to explore the world alone, eat the food I've never tasted, drink the wine I've never known, feel the kisses of a lover, someone sweet and dark and new. I might lose a little me there, but in my place I'll find a bit more you. And if you ask, through all these months of exploration, have you found the thing you're looking for at last? I would explain, when I arrive in each new city, I find again a past of mine I did not know I had. And so I'm taking time to explore the world alone. Don't expect a lot of phone calls. I don't know when I'll come home. It could be end of summer, but more likely end of fall. And maybe then you'll see me for the first time, really see me, and I'll cease to feel invisible at all.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.